I'm Paul Foster. Welcome into this week's More to the Story from Public Radio WNCW. As we review, we dig into the story headlined, Unaffiliated Voter Growth Leaves Other North Carolina Party Registrations Behind as GOP Moves into Second Place. The writer of that story represents Carolina Public Press, Sarah Michaels. Welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah, how have these changes taken place and what political party sits at number one here in North Carolina?
So this has been a long time in the making. The unaffiliated voters did not used to be really a thing at all. And it all comes back, bear with me, 1977, when that first started to be a bucket that the state put people in. You know, there was Democrat, Republican, unaffiliated, and maybe Green Party Libertarian. In the beginning, it wasn't popular because both the Democrats and the Republicans didn't open their primaries to unaffiliated voters, which meant that if you're registering as unaffiliated, you're saying, well, I'm just not going to vote in a primary. I'm only going to have a vote for the general election. And nobody really wants that. But that changed in 1988. The Republicans said, maybe we'd be more popular if we opened our primary to unaffiliated voters. And they were right. A lot of unaffiliated voters increased and they started voting in primaries. And, you know, a little bit later, 1996, Democrats decided, okay, maybe that was a good idea. We'll open ours too. And ever since then, unaffiliated registration has skyrocketed. In 1977, it was about 12%. Now it's like 39%, and it's higher than both Republicans and Democrats. But what's happened recently was that Republicans overtook Democrats in registration for the first time ever. And of course, Republicans are celebrating this as they should, I would say. But the bigger story is that they've stayed pretty steady since 1977, this same time period. Democrats have really gone down and unaffiliated voters have gone up. So it's less a story about Republicans and more a story about Democrats flagging a little bit and unaffiliated voters really taking over.
What you're sharing from your story is not just a North Carolina thing. This is happening in other states as well. You've got your candidates, you've got your parties, and you're just not in line with them. Even if you're registered with a particular party, that may not be the way you vote. You're unaffiliated, and then you make your choice when it's time to go to the poll. Tell us about an individual by the name of Bobby Jenkins. You brought him up in your story. What was significant about him?
Right. So I was looking at some of the unaffiliated candidates who have run for election, and Bobby Jenkins was one of them. He ran for the Swain County Board of Commissioners in 2024 as an unaffiliated voter, and he unaffiliated candidate, and he won, which is pretty rare. It doesn't happen very often because it's just kind of hard to, the barriers to be an unaffiliated candidate are pretty high. But because it was so hard, he's now changed his registration to Republican because he's like, if I want to run again, I don't want to go through that again. Because some of the barriers are you have to get a petition signed by a certain percentage of people who live in your district. And it's pretty high. It's just a lot of work when you're also trying to campaign. And if you're unaffiliated on the ballot, people probably need to be more informed to know like that they should vote for you, because a lot of people are going into the ballot box having an idea of like, I'm going to vote for the Republican or the Democratic candidate.
So for the Republican Party here in North Carolina, what does this now mean? Unaffiliated voters number one, the Republican Party number two.
Right. And I asked a lot of people about that. And, you know, they had different ideas. GOP Chairman Jason Simmons, of course, thinks it's really good news. And of course, they're going to use that as a motivator for their party to keep going and as a mark of success of Republican policies on the state level and the federal level. People who are not the chairman of the Republican Party are not as bullish about it. They say, well, this is a good sign that Republicans are able to tread water when Democrats haven't been able to, but it doesn't mean as much as turnout does. At the end of the day, I think one of the biggest impacts is what I was thinking about is Republicans have been known to have a better turnout machine in North Carolina historically, but in the past, since Democrats have been a little bit ahead in voter registration, Republicans haven't always been able to make up that gap. Now that they're on the same level, essentially, having a better turnout machine is the difference maker.
Joining us on this week's WNCW More to the Story is reporter Sarah Michaels of Carolina Public Press. We continue breaking down the story, Unaffiliated Voter Growth Leaves Other North Carolina Party Registrations Behind as GOP Moves into Second Place. Are the results bad for Democrats, Sarah? I mean, first of all, I think about the fact that we've had a Democratic governor in office now for several terms in a row, going from Roy Cooper now to Josh Stein. I think about the locations of very strong Democratic voters in places like Mecklenburg County and Charlotte, all of the Triangle, Asheville, North Carolina. And at the end of the day, no matter how many registered voters of a particular party we have, it's about turnout. And no matter what party you registered with, is that also the party that you decide to vote for or the candidate in the end?
Right. I think this is something for Democrats to worry about. Jason Simmons mentioned to me that 96 counties in the state, there's 100 counties, have shifted Republican in voter registration in the past few years. So this is not a problem that's isolated to a few counties. It's all across the state. There's more of a Republican bent in recent years. And I think Democrats need to worry about putting all their eggs in the Mecklenburg, Wake County basket, because that's probably not going to be a good long-term strategy for them looking forward.
All right, good stuff from Sarah Michaels, and we'll give you an opportunity to tell everybody where they can find that story and keep up with everything that's going on with Carolina Public Press before we conclude this morning. But I also want to give you the opportunity to tease one of the next stories you're going to be sharing out there.
Well, I'm working on a series about primary deep dives, so I'm looking at a few of the competitive and interesting primaries on the state legislative level, and over the next a month or so, I'm going to be going to those places and talking to people in the community and seeing what's really going on the ground. So look out for those.
Let me remind everybody that one thing about Carolina Public Press is that you can find their entire stories. They are free and available out there on the World Wide Web. And Sarah, how exactly could they find you guys?
Right. It's at carolinapublicpress.org. And you just search CPP, you probably will find it.
She's a writer. She's a member of the reporting team with Carolina Public Press. Sarah Michaels, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
You can locate past episodes of More to the Story at our website, which is wncw.org. Just click on podcast. I'm Paul Foster.